What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up a beautiful Monday on B&E. It's going to be a beautiful week weather-wise, this final week of November into December now. Hope you had a tremendous holiday and Thanksgiving with your family. However you did it, we hosted about 20 people at the house on Thursday. Buck, I know you had a big crowd at your house, too.
Yes, and they're gone home.
Good.
They went home the next day.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes.
My parents stuck through the weekend because my Pops wanted to watch the Ohio State game. Let's just say, as soon as it was over.
Different when you have mom and dad.
He got in the car
there
and left angrily.
Mom and dad can stay for a week if they like. They can stay
see
as long
ya
as they want to. If they say, we're going to plan it here for a month, you just say, okay, well, we'll get everything all fixed up for you.
Well,
if that's what they need to do, that's fine.
We had a group on Thursday, but not as big into the weekend, but still some lingers, and that's always good. That's a family for the weekend. Hopefully you had a similar weekend, whether you went somewhere or some people came to you. We're glad you're with us.
Enough sweets.
That's good. You need to cut down on the sweets.
No, I know that, but no.
Should have come to our house. We had like six different pies.
Come on now.
Yeah, we had like apple pie, pumpkin pie. My wife made a homemade apple pie, pumpkin pie. My cousin brought a peanut butter pie, which tastes like a Reese's peanut butter cup. Everybody loved that. All the kids loved it. A couple of chocolate pies.
All I wanted was to taste my wife's cheesecake with graham crackers in the bottom.
Ooh.
I got one, and then I was told.
That's it?
And then I was told the following day, it's good, they're gone. I'm like, where did they go? They went with the people that left. I'm like, what?
Oh, she packed it up?
Somebody packed it up.
Well, that's good.
And somebody walked out with it. That's not supposed to happen. I was supposed to have an eat-a-thon, and I didn't get my eat-a-thon. And my cranberry, my ocean spray stayed right there in the can in the refrigerator.
I heard you say that today earlier. The cranberry sauce never got taken out of the fridge onto the table.
It never came out of the can.
That happened at our house, too, because the only person that eats cranberry sauce at our house is my father. And it never came out of the fridge. It got all the way to the end.
Oh, no, I thought about it. I thought about it the next day. And when they were trying to put that leftover turkey and that ham on me the next day, and I was like, I'm going to veto this test. Where is my cheesecake? Oh, it's gone.
Already gone. Well, we'll get
already
you some
gone
sweets, my friend. What a weekend. Hope you had a great one. It was a lot of fun and a lot of football and a lot of food. But damn, the football was outstanding. The B&E fact of the day, Buck. With Lincoln Riley's bombshell of a decision, which we'll get back into here coming up, he is headed to USC. Who was the last Oklahoma coach to leave the Sooners to take another job and coach the next year? Because we know Bob Stoops handed it off. Other Oklahoma coaches have been fired,
right?
Like dismissed from duties.
Was it Barry?
Nope, not Barry Switzer.
He didn't go to the Cowboys.
No, Barry Switzer left, and then the Cowboys hired him in the 90s, right? I mean, he had already been gone for a while.
Been gone for quite a while.
1972, year of my birth. Coach named Chuck Fairbanks left Oklahoma to join the New England Patriots of the NFL.
Because he was there. Fairbanks was there with Sam Bam Cunningham.
Yes. So that's the last time. It's been 48 years, almost 49.
And if I'm probably wrong about this, he may have been there even with John Hanna.
Yeah.
The monster from Alabama.
That's the last time this has happened. So safe to say they're stunned in Norman that a coach has left them. There's always been the apprehension in Oklahoma that Lincoln Riley could make a move to the NFL, but he's always shot that down. And the LSU thing was certainly percolating, and all of a sudden it's USC. Let's get to your headlines, your trending topics, and other B&E facts of the day. UBO Business Services, and yeah, just wow, college football over the weekend, a scintillating Saturday. The coaching bombshell yesterday, and of course the Longhorns finished their regular season with a win on Friday. They held off Kansas State 22-17 to end their six-game losing streak. They finished 5-7 on the year. There will be no bowl game for the Longhorns. As for the bombshell that came yesterday, official word now from USC that they have hired Oklahoma football coach Lincoln Riley to replace Clay Helton. 38-year-old Riley has led Oklahoma to a 55-10 mark and four Big 12 championships, is taking the reins of that program from Bob Stoops back in 2017. There is a press conference set for today in L.A. to get more details and the full story there. Bob Stoops, by the way, has been named the Sooners' interim head coach. He'll coach the Sooners for their bowl game as they search for now his replacement. Rivalry Saturday, man, what a great one, all-timer on Saturday. It started with Michigan smacking down Ohio State at the Big House. The 11-1 Wolverines have now vaulted to number 2 in this week's AP Top 25 off that win. Undefeated Cincinnati comes in at 3, one spot ahead of now 4th-ranked Alabama, who dropped again after that miracle triple overtime win in the Iron Bowl on Saturday over Auburn. Oklahoma State is up to number 5 after they rallied to beat Oklahoma in the Bedlam game 37-33. Championship Saturday now set coming up this weekend. Oklahoma State will face Baylor for the Big 12 championship in Arlington. Top-ranked Georgia faces Alabama in the SEC. Michigan facing Iowa in the Big 10. Pitt and Wake Forest in the ACC. Cincinnati in a big one with Houston, the 11-1 Houston Cougars, in the AAC championship game. And out west, Utah will face Oregon for the championship of the Pac-12. In the NFL, top games yesterday included the dreadful Texans losing at home to the Jets 21-14. How about the defending champion Buccaneers, Tom Brady and company? They took down the surging Colts in Indianapolis 38-31. Leonard Fournette scored 4 touchdowns for Tampa, and they forced 5 turnovers to the Colts. New England won their 6th straight game. They smack around Tennessee 36-13. That's the hottest team in the league right now. In Cincinnati, the upstart Bengals took down Pittsburgh 41-10. They improved to 7-4. Jared, they're just a game back of first place Baltimore now in the AFC North. Ravens held off Cleveland last night in primetime 16-10. In Green Bay yesterday, Packers improved to 9-3 with a 36-28 win over the LA Rams. Week 12 in the NFL will, open back on Thursday with 3 games. That included the Cowboys losing for the 3rd time in 4 weeks, this time to the Vegas Raiders, 36-33. All 3 of the Cowboys' losses in this month have been to teams from the AFC West, but they still own a comfortable lead in their division, sitting at 7-4. The Eagles are the second-place team at 5-7. They lost to the Giants yesterday. Cowboys will open action in Week 13 Thursday night in New Orleans. Week 12 wraps up tonight on Monday Night Football with Washington hosting Seattle.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
And for Texas, not going to a bowl game, this is a good thing at 5-7. They don't need to go to a bowl game. They need to reevaluate. Some of these kids just need to go home. And they need to come back with a different type of attitude when they come back next year they're going to play the game of football, period.
Yeah. No, and culture has to change in Texas. Yeah, there is no doubt.
And the coaches need to go to work and get in that portal and find. And as all these things are, these bombshells are dropping all over the place, get to some of these other recruits that other people have that are 5-star guys. You need to go. And no matter what, you still need to go look for another quarterback. Even a young guy coming from California, go look for 2 more. You have to.
Yeah, you need a quarterback. There's
and
no question.
And you need defensive linemen, and you need offensive linemen. There's no doubt about that.
And you need internal toughness on your team. And that
absolutely.
If you're looking for one thing to take from Saturday or Friday, that was it. That was finally a game where Texas played tough. They fought for a victory, a hard fought win. That's been the most disappointing part in some of these losses during this 6-game losing streak. Is it was almost like the willingness to
That will right there was enough to beat Kansas.
Sure was.
And you didn't. I don't understand why you don't show that.
And West Virginia. West Virginia was a winnable game. In these 6 games, you've played some really good teams. I mean, Oklahoma State may be in the Final 4 when it's all said and done. And
true.
You had a double-digit lead over that team. Baylor.
Baylor's pretty good team, too.
Baylor's pretty good team, too. And they're going to play for a Big 12 championship game Saturday. And you had them double digits down. So, again.
But with Lincoln Riley leaving, if you're not the team that steps up in the – and you're still going to be in the Big 12 if that's true next year.
Yep.
If you're not the team to step up, then you're going to be really asking, is this the right guy if they don't step up and make a stand next year?
Yeah, big change expected. And
yes.
Big improvement expected. And it's a tough schedule next year. We know Alabama's on that schedule, UT San Antonio in the non-con. And then, of course, what conference will Texas be playing in is a fair question next year. We assume at this point it's the Big 12, but who knows how things can shake out. Because think about that. You know, the 4 teams that the Big 12 is adding to replace Texas and Oklahoma are all playing for a championship this weekend. Cincinnati will play for a championship and a spot in the Final 4. Houston is playing Cincinnati for that championship.
Right.
You also have, BYU. And beat one in the Pac-12. You know they're playing good football right now. And who's the other school that's going to play for a championship this weekend? Gosh dang it, someone will mention it to me. But they're all
the Pac-12. Oregon is
Well, I'm thinking about the teams that are joining the Big 12, but either way, they're all Big 12 is adding, you know, four winning teams essentially. Meanwhile, Oklahoma now has no football coach because Lincoln Riley made the surprising move yesterday. He's off. How about Lincoln Riley, by the way? 55-10 in his time, but in his final game, his team didn't score an offensive point in the second half. His final game coaching Oklahoma, their offense didn't score a point in the second half. Remember, that game was 24-all in Bedlam at the half.
And they hadn't been hit like that all year long, believe me.
But their offense was great in the first half. Caleb Williams was great in the first half. But it was
and the running back was great, too.
But they scored the safety in the second half, and then they had the defensive touchdown to get to 33. But they didn't score an offensive point. That's where you give Jim Knowles and that Oklahoma State defense much credit.
They look like they got staggered. They got hit hard. Guys were starting to kind of pick themselves up and have their buddy pick them up off the ground in that game.
Yes.
Oklahoma State was still standing and still hitting hard in the fourth quarter.
That was a hard hitting. That was just an unbelievable Saturday, man.
I saw some glimpses of Oklahoma's line, their defensive line, when as talented as they are. When they get cranking and really want to play, boy, that's a different group too.
It is. I mean, felt like they were jumping off sides like over and over again, and they weren't calling it.
I know.
I don't know if they're getting that snap count right. I know the faithful in Stillwater were losing their minds.
It did look like they jumped a snap.
One of them led to the safety. One of them led to a fumble because Oklahoma State just looked like they were falling apart to start the second half, and instead they rallied behind their seniors. There's a lot of leadership on that Mike Gundy team. Give Mike Gundy a ton of credit with he and his coaching staff, but the seniors and the veterans at Oklahoma State said, you know what? We're going to refuse to lose this game. We're going to beat Oklahoma.
We're going to a championship game.
Yeah, and that was pretty awesome. So Oklahoma State puts themselves in a prime situation to maybe play into the Final Four. And who would have thought that when we saw that team here back in October? But here they are. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's Tom McKay and his great crew, our great partners there at avconsultations.com. 31 years right here in Austin, Texas. They're the best for all home audio and visual needs. That perfect sports watching room, that perfect man cave, video and movie watching room. Let them do it for you. They're the best at avconsultations.com.
You know, why wouldn't a guy like Mike Gundy be thought about going to LSU? Too old now? Not many more years left in that tank? You'd really have to.
Do you want a
young and up-and-coming guy that really wants to go and recruit and bring in the type of players that they need at LSU?
Why didn't he go to Oklahoma? Well, that would be a rival. No, I don't think that'll happen. I don't know. This thing, I don't want to say came out of the blue because it just felt like there was something going on with Lincoln Riley. Really, since the bye week for Oklahoma, there's been whispers.
By the way, Gundy may feel like he's got control of the Big 12 now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, you know, Gary Patterson's gone. Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. This is now his conference.
Yeah.
This is now his conference. Cincinnati comes in feeling like they can own this conference because Luke Fickell has given his assurances he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay at Cincinnati and build that program. I guess he doesn't see a fit. Now, remember, Luke Fickell was a name you heard surrounding the USC job for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not taking that. Lincoln Riley's taking that.
Well, let me tell you, if they come knocking at LSU, he'll rethink his decision.
I think LSU's kicked the tires. This is interesting because LSU finished their season by upsetting Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies at the buzzer. What a finish that was, and what a letdown for Texas A&M.
Oh, my goodness.
To end up as a four-loss football team, even though you beat Alabama and you finished fifth in the SEC West with losses to LSU, Mississippi State on your ledger, Arkansas on your ledger. Jimbo Fisher did not get the most out of that football team. I know he had quarterback issues. But man, that was not the expectation in Aggieland. But the LSU gets the victory. But Scott Woodward has told people close to the program that expect a, what did he call it? A
splash
hire.
Yes.
Big time hire. And I think he thought it was Lincoln Riley. And that becomes the, you know, Lincoln Riley is playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. Then Lincoln Riley used the rumor of LSU. And how do you, because you know USC reached out to Lincoln Riley way back. They were the first team to fire their coach.
Well, as soon as they got rid of Clay Helton, when they knew he was gone, that was, like you said, in September.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Yep.
Well, how do you keep that quiet? But somehow it was kept quiet. And now he's going to take the gig. And, you know, as we've talked about already, it makes sense. I mean, he doesn't have to compete in the SEC, can rebuild the brand at USC with name, image, and likeness. Where else would you rather be than Los Angeles? A star town.
Dude, and they got real good athletes, believe me, all positions.
And Lincoln's done a great job of recruiting the state of California, as is, to players to come to Oklahoma. And, you know, as we say, all you got to do is look around the landscape of college football and look at Bryce Young at Alabama and C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, Bijan Robinson right here at Texas. He's an Arizona kid. If you can keep that talent west, you can dominate the West Coast, which puts you into the championship every year. And he's 38 years old, and he gets to live in California, so not too bad. That's what Lincoln Riley's angle would be. As for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns, Buck, can we hear from Coach Sark after the victory on Friday? We finally get to say on a Monday after a victory. It had been 6 weeks and, you know, 6 games and 7 weeks of losing football for Texas, longest losing streak since the 50s, but they do get the victory. Coach Sark was asked what changed with the defense in the second half, because in the first half we saw Deuce Vaughn running all over Texas. We saw Will Howard, the backup quarterback, run 75 yards for a touchdown.
Come on, really, 75 or 70?
Outran your whole defense. And he showed some wheels, by the way, Will Howard. But either way, that's the last point they scored. Something changed. There was a new tenacity and toughness to the defense. It felt like here was Coach Sark after the victory on what he believed changed.
You know, that really in the first half, they have one drive that they score on, and the other one was one play on the quarterback run.
Yeah, where, that counts.
I didn't love our effort by a couple of our players, quite candidly. And, you know, I think we got the kind of the right guys in there that were playing hard. And I think that we played better at the point of attack, one at the line of scrimmage, and two on the perimeter. You know, I felt there were times in the first half where we weren't great on the perimeter, on the bubble screens and the quick screens, where we got blocked. In the second half, we were able to get off those blocks, and we were able to kind of control the line of scrimmage a little bit more, and balls weren't spitting to the secondary level. The tackles were being made by defensive linemen and linebackers, and safeties weren't having to make so many tackles. So I think the line of scrimmage got better at the point of attack, and then I think the perimeter game got better. Any balls that got spit out there, the guys played better.
All right, better defense. And that's, to me, that, of the 6-game losing streak, this was the difference. The defense actually bowed up and played and pitched a shutout in the second half and really gave the Texas offense was not dynamic. But Roschon Johnson was a warrior in that football game. I mean, he was phenomenal.
Yes, he was with playing, a bad toe.
Whether he was playing quarterback or, you know, handing him the ball and converting and pushing it. Here's Steve Sarkisian on Rojo, who brought that emotional lift for the Longhorns with the injury to Casey Thompson and to Hudson Card. Roschon was the, and Bijan Robinson obviously not being there. Here with Sark on Rojo.
I mean, I had a pretty good feeling flying back from Morgantown. You know, I mean, we knew how that game ended from a quarterback situation. I didn't know which quarterback and if one or both of them would be available to us. Casey, you know, kind of got back in the fold a little quicker. Hudson wasn't able to, and we just felt like we had to have kind of contingency plans available if, even if Casey was available, you know, knock on wood, if he were to re-injure that thumb, what were we going to do? So we had to invest some real time in the Wildcat stuff, and then Casey was able to play, but we had already invested that time in it early in the week on a short week. So those were the plays we were running, you know, and it was pretty effective.
It was with Roschon Johnson.
That's the offense you should have had before using that when Casey started to get hurt. I mean, you had to have somebody that could run besides Bijan before he, you know what I mean? They were going to load up on that guy. You know, that's something that you probably, why wasn't that happening before?
Yeah, and is that something to build on? Again, they really had no passing game in that game because Casey Thompson threw an interception early when he tried to push it down the field. I mean, he couldn't throw. Everything had to be quick. Everything had to be short with his thumb and his ability to be accurate down the field.
It was also good to hear from Sark that other guys besides safeties were coming up making plays. Linebackers were getting off blocks.
Well, that's the thing, right? After whatever change, whatever Pete Kwiatkowski did, they didn't, I mean, look, they had two big fourth down stops where the defensive line got penetration. We haven't seen that all year. Oklahoma State or K-State has a veteran offensive line, and they put that's a good rushing team that K-State has. Even with Will Howard and Deuce Vaughn, they stuffed them in the second half, and you saw guys, you know, penetrating, making plays, looking like the defensive line Texas had hoped they would have. Now, I don't know why it took till game 12,
right? Ian, some would think that, you know what, 2 more weeks of practice, you know. This group needs to go home, reevaluate a lot of different things, get on the portal, do that stuff, because if you don't know who your players are by now, you know, if you really
you
are going to tell
who's
me you're just
play for you,
yeah, if you're going to tell me that all of a sudden I just found out who my players were at K-State game, I'm going to go Coach, you probably should have known that way before that. That right. That extra practice, you guys need to rest. Now, I mean, they got enough guys banged up. You know, go get ready for a tough spring.
Yeah, well, look, the culture needs to move,
yes.
And the needle needs to move on that. If it's new players, transfer portal, young players, you got to figure out who you can win with. We'll hear from Sark coming back on how does he get that effort from everybody all the time. Also, you know, just finishing with a win. And we will read from the post that Tope Amade made, the Longhorn sixth-year senior offensive lineman who went through senior day on Friday. He had a real nice, you know, just put out a nice message to Longhorn fans, which should be cause for some optimism coming off a pretty miserable season for Texas. We'll get to that, plus the Lincoln Riley moves, the NFL. We are jam-packed on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. We're glad you're with us.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Indeed, glad you're with us. Monday, beautiful Monday in the ATX, wrapping up November now, a couple more days into December, and there's a lot on the calendar, to say the least. Coming off the weekend, Bucket, kind of looks like your national semifinals in the Final Four will be Georgia against Oklahoma State in one game, Cincinnati, Michigan in another. Obviously, that could change come Saturday with Championship Saturday, but I do expect Oklahoma State to beat Baylor.
I do too.
In the Big 12 title game, that defense is just playing at an extremely high level, and Spencer Sanders is playing good enough. But you know,
I think the quarterback from Baylor is hurt. He didn't play in the game.
He didn't. No, they were to their backup. Bohannon's out, and they had a hard fought game with Texas Tech. That game shouldn't have been that close. They had to win it 27-24. Mm-hmm. Give Sonny Cumbie credit. That Texas Tech team fought to the end. But Baylor is into the championship game again, second time in 3 years for them, with a different head coach, this time Dave Aranda. But yeah, I mean, I expect Oklahoma State to win that game, and I expect Georgia to smack around Alabama in the SEC championship game. Some people have talked about, you know, could Alabama win that game and get two SEC teams in? Kirby Smart is not in the interest of doing any favors to Alabama.
No.
They're playing for a purpose this year.
They're going to try to destroy them on Saturday.
Yes. Look, he knows that no Nick Saban, the disciple, has ever beaten Nick Saban, and to do it to win the SEC championship,
and that's all he hears,
and eliminate them from it, and you know they don't want any part of Alabama in the Final Four. They want to play Oklahoma State, not Alabama, come Final Four time. Meanwhile, Cincinnati, they've got a big one. Let's not just push them past. They got to play Dana Holgorsen and that Houston Cougars team. That's a one-loss team to win the AAC. So that's a pretty big football game. But if Cincinnati wins that, they will be into the Final Four. It appears, and then there's Michigan. How about their win? How about Hassan Haskins, 5 touchdowns against Ohio State? They just stuck it down their throat for 4 quarters.
And for all the alums at Michigan, you're talking about having patience with a guy?
Paid off. I mean, there were a lot of people.
You're already playing your first Big Ten championship game. Is that the first Big Ten championship game for him? Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah, it's the first time he's beaten Ohio State.
Right.
For sure. And, you know, he's a Big Ten guy, Michigan guy, played for.
And they stuck it out.
They stuck with their coach, because, again, I don't know that they felt like there was an upgrade and it was going to cost them a fortune, and they stuck with it, and here it is. It's paid off. That team plays with a lot of determination and leadership, and they were the more physically dominant team against a very talented Ohio State team. I felt like, to me, watching it, there were snow flurries and whatnot. Ohio State looked cold from the beginning. Ohio State looked like they were cold. Michigan looked like they were pumped to just punch them in the face.
Yes, in the cold weather.
Because everything that Ohio State scored, the 27 they scored, came out. They had to work on everything. I mean, coming out in the second half when it was 14-13, Michigan didn't punt in the second half. They just ran it down Ohio State's guts for four touchdown drives. Even when Ohio State was still in the game and just needed a stop, they couldn't stop them. That was demoralizing for the Buckeyes, who take the loss. So that was huge. So Michigan, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Georgia are looking like your Final Four as we sit here this morning. We're also talking Texas football, of course, getting the victory. Oklahoma looking for a new head coach. Stunned yesterday by the developments that Lincoln Riley is indeed moving on to USC to be the head coach of the Trojans. Can we hear from Steve Sarkisian, Buck? We heard some in our coach's corner. But, you know, big picture, Sark was asked, moving forward, you now know what you've got, 12 games, 5-7, worst season in half century for the program. But you've been given the vote of confidence. Chris Del Conte's formerly in your corner. This is the staff moving forward. But Sark was asked, how do you get the effort we saw in the second half against K-State? How do you get that every week? How do you build that culture into this program?
You know, one of the ways you do it is you make changes in personnel, you know, and we had to do that in the first half. The effort, to your point, wasn't exactly where we wanted it. A couple spots, we played other players. And the beauty of having a roster to where you have real competition at every position, at that point, then you can't afford a lack of effort or the next guy is going to go in. And that's where we got to get ourselves to.
All right, so players. They need players.
Yeah, but some of that is, no, Coach, I'm still not going to let a guy continue to get away with it like you did during this losing streak of continuing to make mistakes. I still will put somebody else in there. I'll take my chance. You can talk about till we get our roster right. But, no, that's a part of your culture, and that's bad culture. If a guy's not getting the job done and you're still letting a guy get on the field who continues to duck his head or misses tackles or whatever, doesn't get his job done, that's still not good. You can call that whatever you want. I'm still going to take my chances with a guy that's going to give me what I need to have.
Agreed.
And he may not be as talented. That's not building culture to me.
That's right. And you've got to build the culture, right? That's what it's about. But I think to his point, the more depth you have, the more
We understand that
demanding
part.
You can be.
You don't have to write out everything for us. We got it.
We get it. But speaking of write out, Tope Amade, the offensive lineman, 60-year offensive lineman, after senior day and winning the game, put a nice post on his social media, and it was addressed to Longhorn Nation. And he said, "I wanted to wait till everything died down last night. Thank you all for the love and support," he wrote, "and not just yesterday, my entire career." Now, remember, Tope played for three different coaches
while
at Texas. He was recruited by Charlie Strong.
And he had some things in his life that didn't go the right way or just that was part of life.
Well, and then he played for Tom Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Not only three different head coaches, he had four different offensive line coaches while at Texas. Is important to note. So he's seen a lot, and he's been a part of a lot while on his time on the 40 acres. He moved from offensive line to defensive line, back to offensive line. But in his post, he said, number one, so he listed out some things he wants Longhorn Nation, Longhorn fans to know, from his opinion. He says, number one, Coach Sark is the guy. I believe that wholeheartedly. Please people go through growing pains in life, and this season was just an example of that and how close we are. Number two on his points were Coach Flood, Coach Flood, Coach Flood. What an amazing guy. This is offensive line coach and offensive coordinator Kyle Flood, who came from Alabama with Sark. So what an amazing guy, what an amazing teacher and motivator, arguably the greatest offensive line coach in America. Most of y'all know this. I redshirted, went from offense to defense, back to offense, stayed on the bench for 3 years with a sprinkle of special teams, and was even at tackle at the back end of 2020 until Sark was hired. First thing Coach Flood asked me was, why wasn't I playing given my size? All that to say, development isn't always physical, it's mental as well, even though that may not be the case for most people, it was for me. I've developed more in a calendar year than my entire career on the 40. Coach Flood coaches you in a way that puts you in the best position to succeed personally and ultimately as a unit. We have our walk-on offensive lineman developing. So for Coach Flood to leave his situation, meaning leave Alabama at his prior school to come and build Texas back the way it should be, speaks on him as a coach and his character as a human. So he goes on. Then he goes on to talk about young players like Byron Murphy and young Puna Ford, he calls him, or Puna reincarnated, Jake Majors, Jalen Ford, just a few examples of guys I know with greater things coming in the future. So he says recruiting is going to be good. So that was his post.
It was awful kind of him to say those are nice words on a guy who's going out, who's had his ups and downs in his career. I like that a lot.
And has seen a lot.
Has seen a lot. Yes.
And Longhorn fans are looking just for a glimmer of optimism. And
right.
Is this the right staff?
Well, he's talking about him as a guy, as a man.
Well, and as a leader, right? And that's because,
yes.
Look, we're all looking at this saying.
And Tope, you don't get to have 14 years. I know you didn't develop in six, but whatever. You don't get to have in college football. There's some that look like they've been there 8 and 9 years, but it's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, and I think the fact that he wrote this and these are
right.
This is a guy he's working on his second master's degree. This guy's going to leave Texas with an undergrad and two master's graduate
awesome.
Degrees while here. So someone who's taken advantage of the student scholarship. But it's because one of his posts, he said, "Future Horns, redshirting isn't a bad thing. Stay in school and develop physically and academically. Pursue postgraduate degrees. Take advantage of the opportunity." That was to future Longhorns. But, you know, for him to write this is important. He's obviously a really smart guy.
Yeah, he could have gone on his way, just gone.
But fans are looking for, okay, why am I? We understand what the program needs more than anything right now is stability. It needs consistency in the program. The constant change and rotating door of coaches is killing the program, the development of players, different styles, different coaches, different ways of going about it. I think that's all shown up this year. But same time, to hear someone like that who's seen three different head coaches and four mm-hmm. different offensive line coaches, for him to say, y'all, this is the guy. This is the one. You're in good hands here, specifically with Coach Sark and Coach Flood. That's what Longhorn fans want to hear. Now, again, it's just words, and it's got to be put into action. But there's Tope Amade saying Kyle Flood helped him develop as a player more in one calendar year than he had in the five previous years
awesome.
Combined. That speaks volumes to Kyle Flood. And that
speaks volumes to Kyle Flood, and also it says a little bit about Tope.
Yeah. Well, sure, he admitted in the thing, like, I had to develop mentally to get to where I am. But, gosh, I will say this, that the offensive line got better as the year went on. It did actually improve, especially in the run game.
Dude, that lines of scrimmage were terrible, both of them. That I didn't see anything that got better. I was expecting, I know I thought the center was going to be a great player, and he's going to be, I still believe, but he had to do a lot of help with guys around him.
Well, one guy I saw on Friday that stood out was Hayden Connor. Hayden Connor is a young guard who got in there on left guard, and that dude was getting to the second level. That guy was finishing blocks. That guy was pushing down the field. That's a guy to watch, and that's what you need if you're Texas. Yes, you have to get in the transfer portal and add some offensive linemen, but at the same time, the guys who are on this campus, Jake Majors,
For
Hayden
sure.
Connor, the Jalen Garth, Andre Carrick, these guys have to develop.
Yeah, I mean, it has, and it can't be that 2 years from now. It has, they've got to be ready to play.
Next year.
Yes.
And you've got to go add to it. But I don't think fans can realistically expect, you know, young offensive linemen to walk in here and all of a sudden as true freshmen, they're going to, you know, they're
going to
have a lot of
they get 10 of them. I don't believe there's going to be a bunch that will.
Well, and that's where you got to see what this recruiting class looks like. Texas is selling playing time. They are selling the idea of playing quickly and playing early in your career. For some of the top offensive linemen in the state of Texas and around the country, so we'll follow that all the way into the signing period. But that was Tope Amade's post.
That was awful kind of him. That's nice coming from a guy who's been around, who has a couple degrees and could have just gone on his way.
Yeah,
and said this has been very difficult for me, but I believe the guys that have coached me in 1 year made me better and made people around us better.
Well, and that he didn't say it about the other coaches. He did thank all the coaches he played for, but at the same time, him not developing under them speaks mm-hmm. to their lack of ability to develop players. That's the hope. That's why this staff was hired. That's why Chris Del Conte and Jay Hartzell made the move to take the program up. Did you have to take a step back to go up? That is what, you know, optimistic fans will hope. We'll see. That's Tope Amade's opinion that the better days are coming for the Longhorns. We will talk about that more on the Longhorns and their offseason now. No bowl game for Texas. Also, the Oklahoma situation. Wow. Lincoln Riley stunning the college football world. Moving on to USC. He wants to rebuild that Trojan brand. There's a press conference scheduled for today out in Southern California to make that official. How does Oklahoma respond? LSU is still available. We'll run through that coaching carousel one more time. We're coming back. But coming next, Zay Collier, our producer, walks us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through a Monday edition of the Show of the People.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not. I'll tell you what's hot is the sale over at hornfm.com and flexatx.com. It's Cyber Monday at both of our websites. 25% off Horn hats and gear when you use the promo code HORN25 at hornfm.com. And if you're looking for that Flex ATX gear, which is very popular for the high school brand, go to FLXATX.com as well and use promo code FLX25, HORN25 and FLX25, 25% off at HornFM.com. Not hot. The recruiting landscape for Oklahoma in the wake of the Lincoln Riley departure. Let me go through the list here,
Buck. The explosions are happening.
Yes. Five-star quarterback Malachi Nelson has decommitted from Oklahoma in the wake of the departure of Lincoln Riley to...
Is he one of those Cali kids?
He's a Cali kid. Five-star kid from California. Also a five-star running back in the class of 2023 and another five-star receiver in the class of, I think, 2024. I think the number is four now of decommitments from the Oklahoma football program since the announcement of Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, that's why I don't think this group needs to go to shouldn't be at a bowl game at 5-7. They should be on the recruiting trail and right on the heels of every single one of these kids.
Well, and there are some rumors that all of those kids are going to end up following Lincoln Riley to USC.
That could happen too, but
we'll see.
You got to make the calls, just like these schools make the calls to these coaches.
Sure. Well, with the transfer portal, there's also reports that there are thoughts that Caleb Williams, the young freshman quarterback who took over for Spencer Rattler this year, could follow to USC as he looks to rebuild the Trojan program. Now, Longhorns got their own issues. They've had decommitments, three of them, over the weekend. Their best receiver commitment, Armani Winfield, from up there in the Metroplex. He decommitted from Texas over the weekend, as did Jamarion Miller.
They're probably wondering, is this the offense we're going to see here if I come to Texas now?
I think Stark sticks with his offense. I think the Wildcat.
Well, I think so, too. Obviously, it needs to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think
if you have this type of, you know, even when Bijan is back, you can still do some things with him.
Some more quarterback run.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Sark has said, and he said it on Saturday, I don't like to major in the quarterback run game. I want to keep my quarterback healthy, and, you know, we like to throw the football. But I think, you saw the effects of it on Friday. But the long one, so Jamarion Miller, the running back, decommitted. He's going to Alabama now, apparently. And there was a linebacker from Mater Dei High School out in California,
right,
who also a three-star linebacker. So Longhorns lost three of their class of 23. It's class of 2022, but there were 22 or 23 players. That's back down to 20 now. So Longhorns have their own issues. And you're right, got to go hit the recruiting trail. So not hot on that front. National Signing Day, the early window opens up in about 3 weeks from now. Isaiah Collier is our tremendous producer. How was your weekend, Zay? Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving. Mine was pretty good. Sounds a lot better than Bucky's, that's for sure.
Did you get your grub on?
Oh, yeah.
Two grubs?
Two grubs, baby.
Double grubbed?
Double grub. That's how I get down.
Your family and the wife's family?
Yes.
Double grubbed it, huh?
Double.
Oh, yeah. Now,
what were the time differences on the double grubbing?
See, that's the thing. They were around the same time, so we had to go to my folks.
So Zay said, I was just up at this place a couple of weeks ago. I got to get home. My mama said it's time to come home.
Mama said knock you out. How did you divvy that up? Did you do a little bit here or there? There was a similar spreads?
Well, last week we were together with my wife's family because my aunt-in-law, I guess that's a real name, it was her birthday, so we celebrated her birthday with all the family. And then everybody else who wasn't at Thanksgiving.
So you were already setting the seed the week before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I knew what I was doing.
There you go.
I knew what I was doing.
Well, take us behind the scenes. How different, because your wife is white. How different is a white Thanksgiving versus a black Thanksgiving, Zay?
We have sweet potato casserole. She has mashed potatoes.
Okay.
We have collard greens. She has this
green bean casserole.
Yeah, green bean casserole, this spinach casserole.
But it was all good. But it was all good.
Yeah, it's all point.
There you go.
For sure. Yeah,
all on point. Hopefully yours was as well. Say, what do you have in hot or not?
All right, fellas. So the LA Rams went to Green Bay last night and the Packers rolled. But y'all know I love a good petty story. Before the game, or earlier this week, Davante Adams and Odell Beckham Jr. were texting, and OBJ said, "Yo, man, I'm going to need a jersey after the game." You know how players
do. They switch jerseys,
yeah. Yeah, they switch jerseys, you know, and they hold it, take it up for the camera.
Which generally means one guy is about on his way out of the NFL.
Not all the time. I see rookies do it. Usually it's your homeboy, friend.
Maybe yes.
Person you went to
jersey
college
swap
with.
Very popular.
Yeah, jersey, just a classic jersey swap. Davante Adams, being the petty person he was, because we all know that Odell Beckham got bought out and could have went to Green Bay, said, "How about you go get that Cooper Kupp jersey since that's who you want to be with."
Oh wow. Well, you know, I get that. You know, Green Bay wants to win a Super Bowl. Odell Beckham could have chosen to play anywhere. And so he was bought out and then released by the Browns, and he chose the Rams.
But at one time, he did want to go to the Packers, right? That was the deal?
Now, the Packers say they offered him a contract, but there are reports that it was like a minimum deal. Like, they wanted to show interest
like
without showing interest.
You mean one he could refuse?
Or a deal he had to refuse?
Yes.
Oh, we're interested. It's for the fan base, but we're really not offering you much money. Come win. But, you know, by the way, the Packers did beat the Rams yesterday, 36-28. They reached the 9-win plateau along with they and the Arizona Cardinals, both the only teams with 9 victories in the NFL so far through the 12 weeks. And as we mentioned, there's a report from Adam Schefter because Oklahoma now needs a head coach. And who are they going to target? I saw Josh Heupel's name, the coach of Tennessee. That ain't happening.
No.
Mario Cristobal's name, pump.
And if Bob Stoops, if Bob Stoops does coach this team in the bowl game and they have some fun and they win with Coach Stoops there, he's not coming back.
I don't know. I mean,
why is he even doing this? Is this just a favor?
Yes, because he still works for the athletic department.
Okay.
Still has an office there. And maybe that's part of for Lincoln Riley. Like, let me get out from under Bob Stoops' shadow and go run my own show out of USC. But the name Cliff Kingsbury has been reported by Adam Schefter of the NFL.
This is reported, too.
This is reported. He is being told that's going to be their number one target. Now, with Lincoln, got a 9-2 football team that could be in the Super Bowl. If indeed he is interested to come back to college, you're going to have to wait a while if you're Oklahoma. You're not getting that done until February, potentially. At least late January.
I'm leaving that team until they lose.
If he were to leave, that would put our guy Jeff Rogers, their assistant head coach, as the head coach, I think, in Arizona. A lot of buzz that he's going to get a head coaching job this offseason. Of course, our buddy Johnny Rogers' brother, Randy Rogers' son, he is the assistant head coach in Arizona. So we'll watch that story. Zray, great stuff in Hot or Not. Petty. He loves the petty stories. Hold a grudge. I'm all on Devontae Adams' side on that. Hey, you want to be on? You want a jersey? Come be on the Packers.
There you go.
Then you can have my jersey.
Yes.
You're the enemy right now. I like
Sorry.
That. Yeah. Be mean-spirited. We'll be back. Be any on the horn.